All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel, chapter 37. I want to begin reading in verse 1, just read a couple of verses here, and then dive right into the message. All right, verse 1 says, Ezekiel 37, I'm sorry, I'll wait on you. All right, time's up. No. All right, there's a Bible in front of you in the hymn rack. If you need a Bible, by all means, help yourself. And Ezekiel, that's about this far over in the Bible, all right? If you can gauge it from there. 37's right after 36. All right, let's begin reading in verse 1, please. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones." Now, that sounds real appealing, doesn't it? Huh? "Took him out and set him in a valley full of bones." Wow. Well, there's a reason. Look at verse 2. "And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." All right, notice what he said here. Ezekiel said, Lord, basically he's throwing his shoulders up. I don't know. You know. What are you asking me for? I don't know. All right, that's basically what Ezekiel's response is. Now, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, and then I want to speak on raising dry bones. Raising dry bones. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for our time around your word, and I pray you'll bless, give us understanding of what we're about to hear. I pray that the word of God will make a difference. And Father, may all of us give our best attention for the next 30 minutes so that we can glean something that will transform and change our relationship with you. And Father, we'll give you the praise and glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, dry bones are proof of an extinct life. All right, all of us have seen dry bones out in the woods or out in a field somewhere, and we know when we see the bones that that used to be a creature of some kind, and now that creature is gone. The bones are still laying there, but that creature is gone. You see, bones are made only in living organisms. Bones are made only in living organisms. Now, the primary message here from Ezekiel is this. Israel was once a living organism, full of the life of God. But you'll remember Israel sinned as a people, and with the sin came decay. Decay, death, and decay. With the sin, eventually came disintegration. Until in Ezekiel's day, Israel was nothing but a valley of dry bones, a monument to what used to be. All right, did you catch that? A monument to what used to be. and bones that were just scattered all over the place. Now, folks, you'll remember how in the Garden of Eden, God created man in, the Bible says, the image of God. Adam was a living organism. He was filled with the life of God. But we know the story in the third chapter, don't we? We know that Adam sinned, and when he sinned, he became a sinner, and as a sinner, that eventually brought death, and then death brought decay, and until that was followed by disintegration, which has made this entire world a valley of dead man's bones. You know, the earth is nothing more than one great big graveyard when you get down to it. And as we all know, there is not a scientific process known to man whereby dry bones can suddenly come together and be once again changed into a viable and living organism. So when God asked Ezekiel the question, can these bones live? The prophet had no other choice than to just turn the question back around on the Lord and answer, Lord, I don't know. What do you know about that? Won't you answer that question? Can these bones live again? Can these bones, the nation of Israel had died. As a people, they had died. There was no government. There was no national heritage. There was, they were conquered by other nations. And so Ezekiel said, when God asked the question, O Lord, thou knowest. And what Ezekiel was saying is this, well, Lord, I don't have any earthly idea how to answer that question you just asked me. But I do know this. I know there's nothing I can do about it. I don't have the power to make these bones come together and live. I can't do that. Not within my realm of ability to do something like that. And so, Lord, if these bones live again, well, you're the only one who knows the answer to that question. If these dry bones are going to be made to live again, God, you are going to have to do it. All right, so in this chapter, God answers the question as to how dry bones of all the ages can be made to live. Now, of course, the main application of this chapter is concerning Israel, that Israel is one day going to come back as a nation. Well, I want to serve notice on you folks, that day has come. All right, Israel is a nation today. That happened back in on May 14th, 1948. And Israel became a people, a nation once again. But realize that from 1948, all right, let your mind work here, from 1948 going all the way back 2,500 years ago, to 586 B.C., before Christ, all right? 586 years before the Lord Jesus was here. That was when Israel lost their nation. They were conquered by the Babylonians, and then by the Medes and the Persians, and then by the Greeks, and then by the Romans. And then by the Ottomans, they have just been a conquered people until 1948. So God, or Ezekiel looks at God, and he says, well, Lord, I don't know if these bones are going to live again. I can't make them live. Well, wait a minute. God can. And God did. All right. Now, that's the primary application to this chapter. The fact that Israel was gone. It was nothing but a valley of dry bones. And then, as the old spiritual says, that the foot bone was connected to the ankle bone, and the ankle bone to the shin bone, and shin bone to the knee bone. You with me on that? I'm not singing it, so don't look at me like that. All right? No way. No, I'm not going to go for it. All right, now, that's the primary application. Now, here's secondary application. This is where I want to use it on us this morning. There's another application, and that is, if you are an unsaved person, in other words, you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you sit here this morning and you say, Pastor, I have never asked the Lord Jesus. I have never called upon the name of the Lord Jesus and asked him to forgive me of my sin and make me from a dead soul into a living soul. I've never had God. Oh, by the way, church can't do it, as Ezekiel would say. Church can't do it. Baptism can't do it. The offering can't do it. You know, I've said many times that you can get baptized in every creek and pond and river between here and the Mississippi until every frog knows your name. But that's not going to get you to heaven. All right? This altar, it can't get you to heaven. You walk up here and stand on the altar till you're blue in the face, but it's not going to save you. You say, well, then how does a person get to heaven? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we call upon the name of the Lord and ask the Lord Jesus to save us. So if you are here this morning and you are not 100% sure you're saved and on your way to heaven, listen, you are lost in trespasses and sin. You are like a big old valley of just dead, dry, extinct bones. Spiritually speaking, there is no life in you. Spiritually speaking, there's no exuberance, there's no excitement. And the good news is, when that person realizes that they need the Lord and they call upon the name of the Lord and ask the Lord Jesus to come into their life to forgive them of their sin and to change them from death unto life. Who can do that? Only God can do that. Again, you can walk up there and stand in the baptistry till your skin wrinkles off of you. Not going to save you. It cannot. No baptism died for you. Did you get that? I mean, that's about as simple as it gets, isn't it? No baptism died for you. No baptism shed its blood for you. It doesn't have blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. No blood in baptism. No blood in the offering plates. No, somebody had to shed their blood for you, and that somebody was the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who went to the cross, was nailed to that cross, and who died on that cross for your sins and for mine. For your sins and mine. All right. Now, I had this great point, my first point. I had this great point. I was going to call it the prophet's preparation. And I was going to take you back to the first chapter, and I was going to show you how the Lord spoke, how God spoke, and gave Ezekiel this vision, and showed him you know, what he was going to do in the future, and how there were wings, and then under the wings there were hands. The wings are a picture of the spiritual, of the of deity. And underneath are the hands, and the hands are a picture of humanity. And the whole idea is, hey, Ezekiel, I, as God, as deity, I am leading you to make this announcement. And this announcement is where he's headed to, coming all the way 37 chapters to make this announcement. Pretty cool, huh? And so there's got to be, you know, a preparation for that. And in the preparation, in 37, chapter 37, verse 1, go back to that for just a moment. It says, the hand, there's the hand, deity of that vision, the hand of the Lord was upon me. So can that which is dead and dry and extinct, can it live again? Well, if God puts his hand on it, it can. Amen. Hey, I remember the Sunday morning when, as a 16-year-old hippie, in my head anyway, you know, I sat there, my arms folded and glaring at that preacher. I was so mad at him, I couldn't stand it because he knew everything I had done the week before. Stood up there and preached right at me. And I knew my mom had called him, told him everything. I was so upset. But I kept going back to church after I swore I wouldn't go. And on the fifth stanza, after the fourth week, fifth stanza, just as I am without one plea, I stepped out, came and put my faith and trust in Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. When I did that, my life changed. I mean, just like that, it changed. Could those old dead bones live? You bet. Because the Lord breathed life into my lifeless soul. How about you? Has the Lord breathed life into your soul? You see, folks, the bottom line is that Ezekiel had the touch of God upon him, and that's what we have to have. We have to have the hand of the Lord draw us. You remember the Lord Jesus said, no man comes unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. So that Spirit of God draws up. Boy, he was drawing me, I can tell you that. Every time that preacher said something that I knew my mother had told him, I just got so upset on the inside. Oh, I didn't know who I wanted to fight. You know, do I want to fight my mother who told him everything, or do I want to fight him for broadcasting it to a whole church? You know, I really didn't know what to do. So we got out in the car, and I was griping and complaining and saying, I'm never coming back, blah, blah, blah. My mom said, I thought it was a great sermon. Were you listening to the same thing I was? And she said, well, honey, you're just under conviction. I couldn't even spell conviction. I didn't know what it was. You're just under conviction. But boy, looking back at it, I can tell you, I know what it was. I know what it is now. I know what it is now. And so these old bones came together. Yes, they did. Then secondly, I want you to notice the process. The process is, notice that Ezekiel did what God told him to do. If you'll look back at verse 3 here, the Bible says that he said unto me, God said to Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live again? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. And so now look down at verse 4. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. What's he mean? Preach on these bones. Talk to them. Tell them my word. Tell them the truth of my word. Prophesy upon these bones. And what's the next word? Say unto them. Exactly right. All right. So preach to them and say this. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So what did Ezekiel do? Well, here's the process. He obeyed the word of God. And when he obeyed the word of God, something started to happen, didn't it? And folks, pay attention to this now. Pay attention to this. When he obeyed the word of the Lord, there was no magic. All right? No magic. There was nobody came out in a purple wizard outfit and took a magic wand and said abracadabra over top of those over the valley. No. The man of God simply spoke the word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and he spoke directly to the bones, and when he did, the bones came together. You see, that's how it works. We hear the word of God, and the word of God reveals to us that we have a need. We're just scattered bones. That's all we are. Dead in trespasses and sins, Paul said in Ephesians. All right, so what happens? Well, the word of God quickens. You remember what Jesus said? He said, it is expedient for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Spirit is not going to come. And when he is come, the Spirit of truth, he is going to convince the world. That word convince, you and I would understand that word this way. Convict. Convict and draw. Convict and draw. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. Man, I sat in that church pew. I was over on that side of the church and about half, three quarters of the way back, all the teenagers sat back there in the back, you know. And when the invitation was given, I grabbed a hold and said, nope, not going to go. But I was under such conviction. And I went through one stanza and then the second stanza. And from my experience, two was all they would sing. So I thought at the end of the second one, whoo, made it. I made it. And he said, somebody here needs to get saved. Let's sing a third. So we sung the third. And I wouldn't even look up. I'm just looking down, holding on for dear life. And so I thought, well, made it through the third. He said, I just feel like we need to sing another. You could hear, remember when Timex watches came out? That was around my time. They came out with them little beep, 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 beep. And everybody's alarm was set for 12. I guess that's when the preacher's supposed to quit, you know. And it would go off and everybody go like this. Preacher knew. You might as well quit because ain't nobody listening anyway, you know. And so everybody's watch was going off, beep, 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 beep. And I thought, oh, all right, man, I'm in the clear. And he said, no, somebody needs the Lord. And we're going to sing that fourth stanza. And then we sung the fourth, and I thought, got it. I'm clear. And then he said, I've never done this in my entire ministry. But we're going to sing that fifth stanza. This stanza is for you. And pointed right at me. I said, Mom, I'm going to kill you when I get out of here. This stanza is for you. Now, he wasn't pointing at me, but I felt like he was. And they did that fifth stanza, and you know what I did? I stood there holding on to the back of the pew, and the person sitting beside of me elbowed me and said, why don't you go? You know you want to. So I stepped out, and then I thought, oh, my, I'm out in the aisle. And I got back in real quick, and she elbowed me again. And I stepped out, and I went forward. My mom was walking about that high all across the front of the church. She was so excited I got saved. About a month later, my dad got saved. And the preacher was wanting him to say something wonderful about the sermon that, you know, he heard when he came and got saved. And he said, what was it that finally pulled the trigger for you and you got saved? And my dad said, anything that can change that's got to be real. Now, that makes you feel good. Just old dead dry bones. I don't know, God, what do you think? You think they can be made alive? Do you think they can come to life? Yep, but there's a process. Got to be the word. Got to speak to them. Give the word of God. And when he did, you know what happened? They began to connect. While he spoke to them, suddenly there was a noise. You know what that noise was? Bone noise. Bone noise. You know, sometimes I'm walking across the floor and I think, is that my knee I hear? Now, I know none of y'all ever do that. No. No. People say, oh, yeah, I got bone on bone. Ooh, don't say that. But some people do. The cartilage is all gone. God bless you. Bone noise. It was the cracking sound of bone coming to bone. It was the rattle of death. It was not the voice of life. No, it was God working. God working. You know, when a husband for whom a dear wife has been praying for his salvation begins to be especially mean or ugly or cruel, well, that's when you can expect that he is going to come to the Lord pretty soon. See, that's bone noise. That's bone noise that you're hearing. Yeah. And the dry bones, when they get touched by the breath of God, well, I'm telling you, folks, there is absolutely nothing any better than to see a sinner be made alive by coming to Christ. That noise you hear is made by the resistance of his evil and wicked heart to the gospel. You see, folks, what every dry bone of the valley needs is a touch from the breath of God. Your knowledge of Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic or Latin or music or mathematics or science or astronomy or astrology, that only leaves spiritual dry bones like they were. Dry bones. But the gospel is what makes the difference. Now, let me ask you a question. All right, just say amen when I don't raise your hand, but just say amen when I get the question out. How many of you sitting right here this morning, how many of you, the word of God was preached or it was shared with you the day you got saved? Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, me too. Funny how that works, isn't it? You know? I mean, you're not going to be sitting on the front row of a rock concert. Say, well, I got saved at the rock concert. You did, yeah. No, you did. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. You're not going to get saved at the devil's word. You're going to get saved at God's word. See? It's the Bible. It's what makes us alive. All right? And then lastly, I want you to notice the purpose behind this vision. The purpose. And two times the purpose was given. If you look down at chapter 37, verse 10, look down at that. Ezekiel said, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. And stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army." Wow. That's pretty cool, isn't it? The prophet says they stood upon their feet and they were an exceeding great army. You know, folks, not a great mob, but an army. An army, that's organization. You know, that's organization. An army proudly carries the idea of organization. You know, not this Gomer Pyle type of soldier. You know, no. One with order and organization. A soldier, not the Bill Murray. You know, what was that movie he did something years ago and everybody thought it was just a living in and they thought that's what the army was like and he went and joined the army and found out, uh-oh. Doesn't work that way. No, the army, order, discipline. And the scattered dry bones of Israel shown to once become a living national organism again. And the effect of this transformation, it will be to make other nations finally acknowledge the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of Israel. Folks, I've told you before, all the times I've been over in the Holy Land, and I ask questions, I talk to the guides and get their opinion on things. And here's what the Palestinians and the Arabs will tell me. They tell me this all the time. We just don't understand why we can't whip Israel. And that's what I say. Well, that's easy. Well, what's easy about it? Well, you're not going to whip them at all. You might as well quit trying. Well, there's billions of us and 8 million of them. Yeah, 8 million of them plus God. So you're outnumbered. You ought to see the looks on their faces. And folks, right now, simply because of this conflict, there are a multitude of Arab people and Palestinian people who are coming to Christ.
Amen.
Because they can see that God is still on the throne. Their God's not the answer. The God of heaven is the answer. So Christian, listen. We all know a body needs the breath of life, don't we? You know? I don't know if it's just old wives' tale or what. I don't remember this happening when my kids were born and I was there. But, you know, in the old TV shows, you know, hold the baby up, smack it on the bottom. Well, if you did that, you did that to me, I'd kick you is what I'd do. smack me, I didn't do anything. But the point is, you know, what we all were told was, that's what gets them breathing. I don't know how much of that's true, but I do know this. I know that an old sinner needs the breath of God to give life to his soul. Now, how about you, my friend? How about you? Let's bow our heads for just a moment. And let me ask you, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? Should something happen in your life and you should step out into eternity, do you know beyond a shadow of doubt, do you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven? You say, Pastor, I know that. There's no doubt about it in my mind. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know it. 100% sure. Would you raise your hand and testify that you know for sure you're going to heaven? Say, Preacher, I know it. There's no doubt about it. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven, and I know it. There's absolutely no doubt. No doubts. Thank you so much. You may put your hands down. Well, that looked like everybody, but I certainly could have missed someone. So let me ask this. Who here this morning will say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. I know I need to be. I know I need the Lord, but I'm just not 100% sure. Pastor, please pray for me this morning. Would you hold your hand up where I can see it? I will not embarrass you, I promise. Nobody will know who you are, just you, me, and God. But would you lift your hand right now and say, Preacher, pray for me. I'm just not 100% sure. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? How about up in the balcony? Anyone? Yes, sir. Thank you. May put your hand down. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Good. Good, good, good. All right. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's all stand together and I'm going to pray. And then whatever song has been chosen, we're going to let the instruments play it. We'll not sing just yet, not now, but let's pray. Father, thank you now so much for the love and the grace that you demonstrated when you went to the cross to pay the sin penalty that we owe. The wages of sin is death. And Father, you went to that cross, even though you had no sin of your own, but yet you died on that cross. Why? Well, because you paid our sin debt. And now, Father, whosoever will may come. And I pray that these old dry bones will rise up and get the breath of God upon them and live again. And so, Father, I pray for these who raised their hand. They're just not 100% sure. Well, there's no time like right now to get this settled and get this issue figured out and under the blood. Lord, I just pray now that you'll speak to hearts. For these who have raised their hands, I pray that you will bless them in a great way. Father, help them to step out and come down here and let someone take the Bible and show them how they can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And Father, give us grace, we pray in Christ's name.